I'm Wendy. I'm an addict.
Hey, Wendy. And
I am freezing my butt off. So, but I usually get warmed up when I'm sharing, so I'm sure I'll be shedding some layers as I go along. But thank you, James. And you know what? I want to say this is an opportunity for painful self-disclosure for me too, for honesty. This workshop has catalyzed some things in my life that I was not looking at, I was not ready to look at. You know, I'm not going to give a whole bunch of history about myself and how I got here, but I am a professional victim. I'm a professional martyr. People ask, what's the payoff? I get off on it. Okay, poor Wendy, poor Wendy. You know, and I've always gravitated towards relationships where I get to be the victim and I get to be the one that people say, oh, can you believe she stays? Poor Wendy. You know, I'm a saint, right? You know, so the fact is, someone wisely said once to me, get off the cross, we need the wood, you know, and it still holds true. Why do I keep going back? And I think, but I'm the victim. And, you know, someone pointed out, you know, there's the door. You know, if it's so bad, why are you still in it? And it was a question I never asked. I have to be here. The concept of choice did not, yes, it finally occurred to me when I was able to stay stopped from using for the first time ever, you know, and I mean, through some steps where I realized my life was a series of crossroads in which I consistently made the worst possible choice over and over and over again, every time going, oh my God, how did I get here? Again, you know, well, I did what I always do. And, you know, doing what I always do leads me to situations and relationships where I get to be what I've always been, which is the overworked, underpaid, underappreciated, abused, neglected, rejected, martyr, victim, where I get to feel emotionally superior to everyone around me. And, you know, and I get to feel, you know, well, look at this asshole I'm with, pardon my language. You know, boy, I feel like a spiritual giant next to this, you know. But, so I stay to compare, you know, a lot of times. But I said, well, holy S, to refrain from profanity, but you can fill in the other three letters. I have to get my act together before I do this workshop because it has to have a happy ending, right? I have to come with a problem, present the solution, and then we all live happily ever after and stay clean. So I said, oh my God, I got to work like about 5 steps. I got to do everything, quit my job, come in with this victorious song of I quit the abusive job and, you know, freedom is possible. Well, through this process of looking at the job, which if anyone, you know, I'm from the Virgin Islands. If any of you were in my home meeting of about 6 people, which is about all that's clean there, so feel free to come. We need you. And if you have more than like 18 months clean, you're like a predecessor guru. So really come. Your ego might need it. But, you know, so I'm like, you know, I'm this victim, but all I do is complain about my job. Every meeting, to where it's embarrassing because I did learn a little while ago, a little bit of step work in, that if I am complaining about the same thing for about 3 years, it might be time to look at myself. And I've been complaining about this job for several years, my a-hole boss in particular. And he's 24. You know, he came in new. I'm considerably over 24. I'm not going to even tell you. But, you know, and he's got a problem with me because I've been there so long. He feels threatened. I don't make him feel comfortable. Part of my ego is Well, I have been here about 5 years. You know, I do know everything, so don't try to do anything. Just let me keep doing all the work, because you'd probably F it up anyway. And that's my codependency, my control issues, my perfectionism, my giant ego, my pride and arrogance, everything that I thought I had actually done work on and never looked at it. I never looked at it. I never even felt what was happening to me. And over the course of the last, you know, almost 2 years, my life has gone out of control. And my spiritual condition has degraded. And my balance has gone out of balance. Work has become this giant thing that looms over everything in my life, eclipsing relationships, eclipsing service, eclipsing contact with people in the fellowship, my lifeline, my network, my hope. I don't have time to talk to people in my network. I don't have time to call you. I don't have time to do more service. Don't you know I have a very important job? You know, don't you know how indispensable I am? Don't you know how dependent they are on me? Don't you know how dependent I've made them on me? Because I need to feel validated. I need to feel indispensable. My giant ego requires that I be the most important person anywhere, anytime. And all this is happening, and I don't have a clue. You know, this is, I'm like standing here dumbfounded by this realization that's only come to my consciousness in the last really couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and where I've been looking at my part. I've been the victim of my horrible abusive job, my horrible abusive boss for so long, and my only solution was to quit. And I've just been like, I've got to quit, I've got to quit, I've got to quit, I've got to quit. And, you know, I walked into, my boss even put me in a different office in a different part of the building because he doesn't like me either, you know. And he was like, well, you'll get more work done if you're not distracted by everyone coming to you with all their questions because no one goes to him, which I love, even though I pretend like, well, you know, they're just still getting to know you. You've only been here for a year and a half, you know. Of course, the fact that, listen, my character assassination of this guy is horrible. In a country that had human resources, I would have been fired. My consistent bad-mouthing. Of course, it's all subtle. It's the kind of backstabbing, backhanded, sideways stuff that we do so well. Well, you know, he doesn't really have managerial experience. What do you expect? I mean, I should have been fired. And I'm like saying I want to quit. Well, okay, so say you want to quit something, but then be faced with being fired. You want to hang on to that job like it's the last, like the person you're trying to break up with. Watch them turn around and try and break up with you. Oh, baby, I love you. I'll change. This is me. Oh, I will change. I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. I'm so wrong. But I was hiding in my other office, having come in late, like I like to do to prove that I got this. You know, I'm, what, you want to reprimand me? Don't you know who I am? You know, it's ego, arrogance off the charts. And so after I crept in late, went and hid in my office, got on Facebook, you know, I'm sure I was doing some marketing stuff on there. You know, the social network is very important in the business world. So whatever. So I had to take the trash out from my office. So I'm like creeping around. I go all the way around the building to the parking lot and I decide I'm going to cut through the kitchen. Well, the head of the chef goes, oh man, I wouldn't go in there if I were you. And I flinched. I didn't realize it, but I guess my body language, I just, oh, he goes, damn, you're like an abused woman. And I said, I am. That's how I feel. You know, it was before I started looking at my part. I felt every day going into that job like I'm under attack. Like I'm going to, like, you know, like he's raising his hand to me. And That's when I said, I definitely have to get out. I have to get out. It's killing my spirit. I feel crushed every day. I cry. But I never looked at my part. It's so amazing. If I wasn't doing this workshop, I still would not be looking at my part. The fact is, someone I was talking to in my network said, wow, it sounds like you need to look at your sixth step. And I said, what? Whatever. Ran straight home, pulled out my sixth step, and started going all over it and started over looking at the character defects that were actively in play. Everything I said, and I'm remembering them pretty good because I started doing what I haven't done for years, which was praying for them to be removed and meaning it. And every day, on my way to work, I have a half an hour drive to work, and that's the time when I call my network, I call the newcomers in the area, which is all we have. And that's like part of what I try to do service is I try to touch base with them. Are you clean? This is a phone. It has buttons and it actually can call me too. It's amazing. You know, just a way to reach out. But I was never taking care of me. You know, I'm reaching out to everybody. There's all these opportunities for service, but I never took care of me. So the time that I used to call everybody that I know, I started to pray. I kept my headset on so people didn't think I'm talking to myself. But, you know, and I pray best out loud because that's the only way I can get my own attention. If I try to do it in my head, I'll be like, oh, a bird. Or I'll be like, oh, work. This thing at work I really have to obsess about. I mean, I have to say out loud, God, please help me today. Please take my giant ego that makes my life so unmanageable, that makes me feel like I'm immune from the laws that everyone else has to follow. Take my arrogance. Take my pride. Everything, every time my boss, one of the things that I constantly hate about him is he's very insecure. He's a young man. He wants to take credit for everything. And he genuinely believes that it is his idea. But everything I put forward, he kind of takes credit for. And so I stopped letting him touch anything. And I stopped letting him know what I'm doing. I'm like, oh yeah, I did that. I'll tell him after the fact. Because he like wants to see it, wants to F with it. And, you know, so that's my pride and arrogance, thinking I own the work. It's a job. The concept that it's just a job has completely escaped me. It's become my life. And I pray, God, please. I was praying before this, God, please help me quit my job. Please help me quit my job. Please help me quit my job. A foxhole prayer, if there ever was one. I thought I was sincerely asking God to give me the strength to walk in there and quit. Instead, I was running from the consequences of my own negative behavior. You know, my own character defects run rampant, twisted me, backed me into a corner. And, you know, I start praying seriously, God, please make me humble today. Make me like water, not resisting when he criticizes me, when he attacks me, to flow with your will, not resist, because that's I'm a buck. Authority, please. Oh no, I don't think so. I mean, that he's an authority figure, it just infuriates me. I realize, and I joke about it, I have a problem with authority. I make it into a joke. It's a very real fact that I make light of because I don't want to look at it, what it really means. Why do I have a problem with authority? Because I think I'm the ultimate authority. For real? Why else would I have a problem with it? I'm not the cops. They pull me over for speeding. I'm not going to say, I don't think so. I think I'll write you a ticket. No, I mean, there are areas in my life where I understand that there's authority. Work doesn't happen to be one of them. So, you know, it's something where I have to look at me. To try to quit this job is to run like I always run, from looking at myself. And, you know, it's been a day-to-day struggle. Doing that, taking a daily inventory. How did I forget? Listen, it's like it's the first time. I've been clean a little while. I mean, not like this guy, but I mean, I've been clean 11 years. It feels like nothing because I haven't been doing anything. I've been clean, going to meetings, doing service, but the interior work that it takes to recover, to do more than just be clean, I have not been doing. And it is making me sick. I'm sick physically, I'm sick mentally, I'm sick spiritually, I'm sick emotionally. And I feel like this is the first time. I've been reading the literature, I've been working on the steps, again, reading all the literature, and honestly, it's like leaping off the page at me. It's like I never saw it before. And it's humbling. It's not humbling, it's humiliating, because my ego tells me I should be better than this. My ego told me that I was not going to come up and tell you that. That I was going to say how great working the program has made me own my part. I lived happily ever after and stayed clean forever. But for real, I'm struggling on a day-to-day basis. You know, in the 10 step, you know, doing a daily inventory, did I have any extreme feelings today? Still, if I see a call from him, it's like I've been punched in the stomach. It's like I just drove by the last place I got high. I literally feel sick. That's how twisted my relationship is. That's how out of balance my relationship is. And you know what that gut feeling is? That twist is fear of the consequences for the stuff I've already done. My bad attitude, my perpetual lateness, my insubordinate, authority-hating attitude. I waltz in late. You know, of course I stay late to overcompensate because I am a workaholic in all this. And, you know, I've always said workaholic like it's something I'm proud of. Look at how much more I work than everyone else. Again, get off the cross. We need the wood. You know, other people have a healthier relationship with other aspects of their life. And doesn't make me better that I destroy myself with any tool at hand. That I will turn it as a weapon against myself. Drugs, relationships, shopping, work, obsessive behavior. It's all facets of my disease. And, you know, like I think I'm clean, but a very sage person in my life says, if the job is perfect, but if the relationship is perfect, but it ain't perfect. In fact, there's something probably drastically wrong with it. So in the process of my life going totally off the rails, while not using and not realizing anything is wrong, I'm having this series of health issues, nothing major, nothing catastrophic, but I'm used to being healthy. I mean, I got clean, I went through hepatitis C, I went through interferon, I went through that, I'm clean, I'm healthy, I feel invincible. I got clean. I came through the other side of all the consequences, the physical consequences that I thought I could suffer. And then I started having these health problems, largely related to my lack of self-care because of my addictive relationship to everything in my life. I don't exercise. I sit at a desk for 10 hours. I stare at a computer screen. You know, how healthy is that? How balanced is that? Take a walk, you know? Take lunch. Get up. So these health problems have led to a series of other events in my life, including not limited to, but including medication that has the potential for abuse. Let me tell you, coming home after an abusive day in my nightmare job with my gut in a twist, praying that maybe I'll have a coughing episode tonight that'll be so bad that I can maybe take a teaspoonful of that special cough medicine for emergencies, you know, it talked to me. you know, to know that there's a bottle of this special cough medicine, you know, on the microwave. It's to think that that is there, all it takes, and I'm on the edge and don't even know it, you know. It's dangerous. I've been like walking around carrying a loaded gun and don't even know it, that the safety's off. And, you know, I have got to take a long look at my life. This is not over. This is far from over. You know, I left to go on my vacation here, which includes some medical tests. Did not mention to my boss that I was also going to an NA convention. I just said, oh, yeah, I have to go back for some medical tests. A lie of omission, a lie of, you know, sort of evasion. And I text him Friday morning, guilt, I'm at the airport, I'll be available by text, by phone, by email, let me know if you need anything. He texts back, I didn't know you were leaving, you can't just leave, you have to tell me. Well, we did talk about it. I did say I had this engagement, but I never wrote it down because put in a vacation request. Oh my God, I've been there forever. And the gut fear of yet again, I've made this. Nobody did this to me. I like to play the victim that I've been put in this position, this unreasonable D-head a-hole, you know, has forced me to this. But no, the fact is I've been very irresponsible. I've been very arrogant. And, you know, I have consequences. And it's like the relationship with the person that you want to break up with, but you really won't let go at the same time. So you maybe push him, like, I'm going to make him break up with me. I'm going to make him fire me. I'm going to push. And I'm going to make him fire me because I can't quit. Because I'm too codependent. I'm too addicted to the feelings. Because what I didn't tell you is the total validation I get at this job because I'm such a workaholic. I've been there for so many years. Everybody knows me. The customers love me. And my boss even said, you're the sacred cow. I can't fire you. There'd be a riot. Oh, you don't think I played that to the hilt? Oh, yeah. Moo. You know? But the fact is, I'm making it very difficult for both of us to work. I'm making it hostile. And the part is, I've got a lot of stuff to work on. I can't very well go up to him and make an amends. Well, I've been doing some step work lately, and I'm doing a lot of, you know, it's been suggested that, you know, I might want to bring you into my recovery. No. You know, but I've got to do the best I can to be the person that I want to be, not the person I feel trapped in at this moment. Being trapped is the way I lived my entire life before I got here. Somebody pointed out to me tonight that I did a workshop here a couple of years ago, and the topic was living the dream. And at that point, I was living an amazing, magical dream, which I still am, but what a distance I've come from a happy, joyous, more happy, more joyous, more free person to this wretched, relatively trapped individual I feel today, trapped by myself, trapped by my character defects, trapped by my arrogance and pride, not asking for help. Because I'm so proud, I don't even know I need help. You know, but let me tell you, the praying, and I mean, I'm praying for a solid half an hour out loud, over and over, take my pride, please God, please take my arrogance, please God, please, I'm serious, I'm not kidding, I really mean it. Oh God, please, I mean, this is so bad. You know, God, I mean, you were there yesterday, you saw it. I mean, I'm like, the way to work, the way from work, and the difference it made the first day I did it. I mean, I'm not going to try to spout a bunch of miraculous stuff, but it was some miraculous stuff. It's like I never heard of it before. Like I never heard of prayer before. I mean, I'm not new, but I am new. I'm new every day. I'm new every day that I remain open. And I've been a very closed mind for a little while. Our area is so small, it isn't even an area. There's no region, there's no area. And if you want to see the NA program on St. Croix, third row back, first seat, and me. That's it. I have the most clean time in our entire area of people that are actually in the program. And that's a very wonderful, terrible place to be. He says, my boyfriend, my dear spiritual boyfriend says, you know, we're the top of the food chain. It's terrible because it's hard to be perfect, yet I feel so good at it. You know, it comes so naturally for me. And, well, of course I don't have to ask anyone else for advice or help. Hello? I'm the senior member of everything. Kiss the ring, you know, and group conscience, what do you think? I agree. All right, let's do it. I mean, that's it. So it's a position where there's no accountability. Nobody knows what a tradition is. And we're trying to tell them, and they don't really listen anyway. So if one person, I mean, we left for this convention Friday. Our one guy, who we were like, this guy, he's going to do service, he's going to chair the meeting, give him the key to the meeting, which we started, which we'll celebrate 2 years next month. And we've been doing all the service positions the whole time. And we think, finally, this guy graduated rehab for the second time in the last year. He's really got it now. I'm so sure. Gave him the key, and he drank. Literally. Like 2 hours after my flight left. Wow. Now, of course, I think, oh, God, I left island, and he drank. No, he didn't drink because I left island, because we weren't there to save him. He drank because he didn't know the tools to use when things got bad at work and he quit his job and went straight to the bar. And of course I'm thinking, oh God, I hope he didn't learn that from me. Because they do. I mean, we do learn by watching each other. And I've definitely been portraying some unspiritual stuff. But, you know, the part I play in my life, in my relationships, it's terrible. It's been terrible on my relationship because, of course, where God and my recovery are supposed to be at the top, work and my self-importance have been at the top, then recovery, then relationships, then like whatever else there is, which I don't even know what else there is because work is pretty much the first 4/5 of my world. And, you know, my relationship gets the crumbs, whatever is left, which ain't a lot. You know, and to pray to have that restored to some semblance of balance and health, to be able to give of myself, to be able to save some for me and for the other people in my life, you know, that's been a gift. And I feel there's already been tremendous miracles in that area just by asking God for help. How are we? 10 minutes, oh, good. And at first I thought, like, oh, God, what am I going to share on for a whole workshop? I don't really have a lot to say. But what I always know is, I'm like, what do you mean 5 minutes? I just started. I haven't even gotten to the, like, spiritual stuff yet. But, I mean, the fact is, there's a positive to this, too. What part did I play? What part do I play? You know, I play a very important part. We tend to focus on the negative because the focus of this workshop is to own our responsibility in the places where we pretend like we don't do nothing, you know? But the fact is, too, that I play a part, a positive part in my life, too, that I also don't give myself credit for. I play a positive role in our fellowship. You know, we are trying, you know, the sole focus of our fellowship work in St. Croix is to grow Narcotics Anonymous, to build a fellowship out of nothing. You know, when I moved there, I did an emotional geographical relocation. I was here and I couldn't say no. And yes, part of my dream, my life dream, once I realized I had life dreams, once I realized I could have life dreams, was to move to a beautiful place where there's no winter and it's warm all the time. And I mean, what a miracle, let me tell you, to like all my life go, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Should I be a brain surgeon? Should I go to college? What am I supposed to be doing? To realize my entire life goal was basically to live at the beach. Pretty easy. Thank you, God. You know, that one I could actually do. Because the brain surgeon thing, I think I'd still be challenged at. But, you know, I did that. I moved. But part of the subtext of that was also I was running from my inability to say no to service. I couldn't. I felt like I had to do every service position, every commitment, every time anybody asked me to do something, I said, okay, sure. Personal life, relationships, boundaries, what are they? And, you know, and I moved to get away from some of that. But at the same time, I took it with me because I took my meeting starter kit and I said, I'm going to start Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to go into the gutters and the alleys, and I'm going to go to the crack house and the bar, and I'm going to take this, read these readings, and, you know, and they're going to say, oh my God, it's a miracle. Thank you. I'm clean now. Let's start more meetings. Not so much. You know, people, the gutter in your own urine-filled sweatpants is a warm and comfortable place for a while. You know, and like they say, it's like peeing your pants. It's warm for a while. I don't know, but, you know, sitting in it. But it does cool off. So, you know, I really thought I was going to make, I mean, in my, thank you, my new roommate, who is the mother, my ex-boyfriend's mom, so she's real program friendly, she was telling everybody, oh, Wendy's here to start Narcotics Anonymous. She's telling, like, random people. Yeah, like I'm the ambassador. Yes, I'm an official member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I'm here to start a chapter. You know, but the part that I play in the fellowship there, I love it. I don't love having the most clean time, but you know what? If somebody came with more time, I would probably get a resentment. And I'm going to have to pray about it. Because really, I hope it happens, but at the same time, well, you know what? I don't miss area service. I really don't. We don't have an area where, like, group conscience, yeah, okay, let's do it. But really, the thought of committees makes my blood run cold a little bit still. But, you know, we've managed to make contact with World, make contact with the Latin American Zonal Forum, with the Puerto Rico region, mainly through my boyfriend who isn't as comfortable with being the top of the food chain as I am, I think. He was kind of like, we need some help over here, don't you think? What do you mean? We got this. You know, and so he reached out to Puerto Rico, and they put us in touch with the World Zonal Forum, and we were able to have our first H&I Learning Day last Monday, and two guys with 20-some years from Puerto Rico, wonderful guys, flew over, we spent the day with them. I mean, we spent like 24 hours with them. And, you know, it was such a, like, it really works. We're surrounded by newcomers who can't stay clean. And to just be reminded, people do stay clean. This does work. You know, it does work, and it will work, and it can work. And every area started out like that. Narcotics Anonymous started out like that. And going to these workshops and hearing the history, and, you know, it's like, that's how I feel. We're out there on the frontier. But the great thing is, it's already here. We don't have to invent it. You know, we don't have to write it. It's already there. We just have to follow the guidelines, follow the rules, follow the yellow brick road, and hope that somebody else stays clean. And really, if you look in yourself and you find a life dream of living at the beach, come. It is possible, and we need you. Because for real, they get tired of hearing our story, and it's possible. You know, the foundation that I got here carried me there, and the recovery that I got, the help I got, the love I got here is the same love that I give to the newcomers who come in. And, this is a program of boundless love, love without end. And the more we tap into it, the more there is. I mean, it's intoxicating. This is the high I've been looking for my whole life. You know, to be surrounded by and filled with this magical spirit of love in action. And, to be able to take the hand of one other suffering addict, one other newcomer, not the hand, but enfold them in the warm, loving hug of Narcotics Anonymous, and hope that from your heart to their heart, they will feel it. This thing works. And, that's the part I play too. And I'm proud and honored to be a part of this. I'm humbled to realize my own humanity, my own fallibility. I'm to be knocked off the pedestal of my own making. And realize that when I go home to my little island, I've got some answers to answer to. I've got some work to do. I've got a job to do. And I've got to be rigorously honest in that and not forget. It took a call from a committee member asking me to share to look at my life out of balance that I wasn't looking at. And what's it going to take next time? Hopefully, if I stay on the path, I don't have to scramble to get back on it. And, I am so blessed to be here and to be a part of this. And, thank you so much for staying in this room, even though I actually wouldn't have minded if you all left. That would have been okay. I would probably have felt more comfortable. But if you want to know, I'm picturing you all naked. So it's making it a lot more easy for me. Some of you are pretty cute. So thank you very much for being in your underwear for me tonight, and thanks for letting me share.